Hey, this is Jeremy Roenick, and guess what? You guys are listening to the Jim Bob Show.
Hey, this is Wayne Larrabee, and you're listening to Roar on WGN.
Hey, this is Jim McMahon, and you're listening to the Jim Bob Show.
I had to pop a beer for this one.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Brian Urlacher, and you're listening to the Jim Bob Show.
That's awesome. Oh,
and
that's
then
it.
How about one? This is Brian Urlacher. I'm not a bitch.
No.
That's about, love that one. That's,
half the coaches in the league. The Mondays were the worst. And that's when you really got tested, when you came off a tough loss. You got into the office on Monday. You found out two more players were hurt. You didn't realize. The sky's always falling in the NFL on Mondays.
Yeah, they're 40-1, which is shorter than I thought. You know, it,
why aren't they 100-1?
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
720 WGN, high atop Chicago in the Skyline Studio. It is the Jim Bob Show, game day edition. And Jim Bob on the line. We have a Philadelphia legend, an inspirational player, a force of nature, and a Hollywood superstar. It is
Rocky. It's Vince Papale, baby. How are you, Vince?
That was great. Hey, thanks to Rocky and Sylvester Stallone, the movie Invincible.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, I'm doing great, guys. I am so excited about coming out to Chicago and come down to Jupiter, Florida, we just said. But this is going to be so cool. I'm honored and a little intimidated by some of the gridiron greats that are going to be there. But this is really going to be cool.
It is going to be a great event. It's a wonderful event. It's the 13th annual Mike Dick is Gridiron Great. Dane and I got involved with this a few years ago. Urlacher was doing something, and we were out for the Super Bowl, and we met Brian, went to the gala and everything, and man, we had a great time. So this year, we're providing the El Bandito Yankee tequila. We'll be drinking some tequila at that event. So we got to have a lot of fun, man. But we wanted to catch up with you and talk about you. You know, your story's so great. It's wonderful inspiration. And I wanted to talk a little bit about how that came about. I want to talk about it. Everybody knows what we're talking about as far as the movie Invincible.
Yeah.
This is the guy that they made the movie about right here, man. And so we do have the real life Rocky. I mean, this guy is real life Rocky. But were you happy with the movie, Vince, the way it came out and everything?
Oh my God. If you could see some of the memorabilia, I'm right here in my garage, actually, in our Florida home. And all the stuff that's there from the movie, I'm looking at Mark Wahlberg right now. And it came out of nowhere. You know, I mean, I was a school teacher at my high school alma mater in suburban Philadelphia, head track coach, this football coach, working on my master's degree. And actually, I was trying to qualify for the Olympic trials in the decathlon. Didn't quite get there. And I started playing semi-pro football. And I went to St. Joe's on the track scholarship. So I said, hey, why not? Let's take a run at this bad boy. And, you know, wound up getting the opportunity. And like, when I go out and speak and talk about the dream, the impossible dream, the unthinkable, the undoable, I said, just be ready, you know, be prepared for anything that's out there for you. And I got it. And I wound up captain of the team.
When we knew you were coming on and we were going to be in Chicago and everything, I've been reading a lot about you and your background. And one thing I was going to ask you, I knew that, you know, you were a coach and a track coach and everything. Is that part of the movie where you switched shoulder pads? Was that a real deal?
Yeah.
Did that give you that extra little edge? Because you had some little bitty shoulder pads.
Well, I had some itty bitty shoulder pads, and they were leather. Yeah, I had them. I didn't wear thigh pads, knee pads, any pads, hip pads, mouth guard, whatever it could to be lighter. I did, you know, those big heavy helmets they had with all the foam. I wore the suspension helmet and, you know, did what I could to get that extra speed. But I was running 4.5 40 back then on grass, so I don't know what that computes on turf here, but.
Well, pretty darn fast, Vince.
Well, whatever. You know, you were mentioning a real life Rocky. I have to thank Sylvester Stallone and NFL Films and also the NFL because they contacted me in 2002 and Rocky was turning 25. And you had mentioned, you said real life Rocky and the movie Rocky was turning 25 back in 2002. And they said, hey, we want to do a Monday Night Football special. And Ron Jaworski and Stuart Scott were the guys leading into the Monday Night Football games back then. And they said, we'd like to do a feature on you, comparing you to Rocky. And I really didn't think Sylvester was really real keen on the real-life Rocky thing with me. But, you know, we became the best of friends, and they showed the feature back then when the Eagles were playing the 49ers. And next thing you know, Hollywood came calling, and 2005, Mark Wahlberg becomes me, or I become him. And 06, the movie came out, ran number one for a few weeks. So it's so cool. And, you know, it's given an opportunity. And, you know, this is one of the reasons to expand what I was doing it.
I think your story would have been inspirational. I think it would have been great in any market. But you look at Philadelphia specifically and just the nature of the community, the town, the fans, just a blue-collar situation to have you come from there and be one of their very own to be able to achieve this. Talk a little bit about that. About it would have been special anywhere, but Philly even more.
Well, you know, it was really cool because I was a season ticket holder. And I started at Franklin Field, and then I get this opportunity. I was pretty well known in Philadelphia in my track exploits. Then when I came out, the training camp was just where I grew up. So as the saga continued, and we went through back in those days, we had six preseason games in 76 and an 8-9 week training camp. And as time would go, bring me in the Philadelphia papers, and then, you know, it started to grow into my popularity and my students and the kids I coached and guys I played in the rough touch leagues, guys I played in semi-pro, all the guys from the work on the roof, they're all coming. And every time I caught a pass, they'd start cheering and Camille's attention. And, you know, I did things that wide receivers didn't do back then. I, you know, I blocked a lot. I cut, you know, I would cut them if I could. And you know, so he had this one guy that he wanted to bring in because he had lost one of his players to the expansion draft. And I was that guy. He wanted that special team wide receiver. And coach didn't know anything about where I played football, what my age was or anything. He just liked my style of play, passion, hard work, and decided I was going to be the guy that was going to be his example. And then what a, you know, I mean, geez.
How was your relationship, Vince, with Vermeil? I mean, after you left Philadelphia and retired, have you stayed in touch?
Oh, my God, yes, all the time, you know, and he's been really a great advocate, absolutely, without a doubt. And we were invited to his Hall of Fame induction a couple of years ago, so we're out there. And my whole family, I mean, we're part of the Vermeil family, and he's part of ours. And my son, Vincent, plays in the UFL. Right now he's ranked number two receiver in the league. And Coach Vermeil has been his advocate throughout, and, you know, getting him in the league, and then he wound up doing really well. So, yeah, Coach and I are extremely, extremely friendly, and it goes way beyond that player-coach relationship. I mean, he's family, and it's as simple as that.
How about you being on the same mention on the roster as Harold Carmichael? That's got to bring some pride to you, because back then, people don't realize that, man, we didn't have a lot of players. We didn't have practice squad. You know, we carried 42 max, I think. I mean, you know, you guys only carried three receivers back in 1976, I think.
Actually, we had five, and I was, you know, the fifth. I wasn't basically the receiver. I was the special teams guy. When I went into the games, they would rotate the defense to the other side of the field. They knew I was going to get thrown to. But to have Harold Carmichael and be a part of him, and I think I taught Harold a couple of things about, you know, about work, about blocking, and, you know, the other side of the game other than just catching passes. And to this day, we're the best of friends, and, you know, Hall of Famer. And then, you know, I'm going to be there on the dais with legends like Steve Largent and Emery Moorhead, and let's see who else goes. Oh, Mike Singletary, for crying out loud, Randy Ambrosia. You know, I mean, and there I am. I'm going to be so freaking intimidated when I'm on that.
How about this? How about Bill Bradley? So Bill Bradley was my defensive back coach in the USFL. No. And so Dollar Bill, I actually I talked to him this weekend, and I didn't get a chance to bring you up, but I'm for sure going to talk to Dollar Bill again this week, and I'm going to tell him about you. Anything you want me to mention to him?
Yeah, we have a little bit of a nickname for him, and the first part of it is Bo. He'll know what it is. Just tell him Vinny said Bo. But Billy was there my rookie year, and he was like, you know, him and Tim Rossovich, they were the crazy Eagles back when I was a season ticket holder, and I couldn't believe that I was on the same roster in the same field as Bill Bradley and Roman Gabriel and Bill Berge and Harold Carmichael, you know, all these great football players. And but Bill Bradley, He's right out of doubt, man. He's right out of Central Casting. I'll just say that. I just love. We called him Bo Bitch. That was his nickname.
Vince Mafali. He is going to be here for the Gridiron Greats, the Hall of Fame. And Jimbo and Vince, talk a little bit about that. There's great causes out there, great events for them. But this specifically, right, when it comes to the players and the health and being able to raise dollars for those people that really paved the way for all that success players are having today.
Yeah, and, you know, let's go to the Gridiron Greats organization. There are a lot of NFL players who are in dire need, and a lot of these funds go to it. And I was introduced to it by one of the physicians that it works with, and that's Dr. Peter Candelora, who I'll be out there with. But, you know, I'm getting the Marv Levy Award, you know, and for my contribution and everything, you know, with the veterans. And, you know, there's a certain something, you know, with the veterans and, you know, the guys coming back. I'm from that Vietnam era. And, you know, so I sort of attached myself to them. And then I have a very good friend whose son got killed in Fallujah, and it's a Travis Manion Foundation, and it's for the survivors of the falling. And right now, you know, in South Florida, I got involved in a really cool thing called the Wounded Veterans Relief Fund. And what they do is they're providing for veterans, you know, that didn't have whatever. And, you know, I've been with the Wounded Warriors Foundation. I've been to Walter Reed to visit the kids. I mean, the injured and for this affinity for those that went out there without any question and giving it everything they had, you know, for our country and for our freedom and for our dreams. And I'm just so honored. And I have my name attached to Marv Levy. I had a conversation with him the other day. You know, he sounds like he's 5 years old. He is as sharp as a tack. Yeah. And I can't wait to personally next week.
How about a little bit about you, Vince, in regards to when you got out, you were the captain, and I want to come back to that story too, but what did you do after you left football? What was your life about and your career path?
Well, I got into TV and radio. I was working some TV and radio, and it was great. I had a pretty good time doing that for about 6 or 8 years. But then, you know, I was single. I got tired of it, and I started getting into sales. And when you know it, in 1992, I run into a former USA world-class gymnast by the name of Janet Cantwell, who is now my wife, soon to be of 31 years.
Woo-hoo!
And, you know, we teamed up. She was Kathy Rigby's teammate back in that team back then, you know, that was in Munich. And we all remember those Munich days. And then she was doing real estate. I was doing mortgages, and everything was great. We had a couple great kids, Gabby and Vinny. And then in 2002, I got the call from the NFL Films, and a guy by the name of Pete DiStefano said, we're going to do this feature comparing you to Rocky, and it flipped everything upside down. And that's when, you know, I've traveled all over the world and spoken to groups like you can't imagine. And so it was intimidating at first, but now I'm just so excited to think that somebody could listen to me and maybe be inspired or I made a difference in somebody's life. And I'm also a cancer survivor as well. So Wow. That's one of my big passions.
The sports and the athletic side is one thing. And Jim Bob always says, you know, that's a 1% deal. Very fortunate for that. But when you can couple it with a person that can pay it forward on the inspiration, the motivational side, like you have done the entire time, you really have some. We're excited to have you out in Chicago for Gridiron Greats for the Hall of Fame thing. We'll have links up at WGNradio.com for all of that. Vince, Jim Bob, you got another question, right?
I do. I mean, you know, you're such an inspiration, Vince, and I think your inspirational journey. But, you know, what was the hardest part of that journey for you personally? I mean, there had to be something that really stuck out. What was the really the toughest aspect of the journey?
You know what it was? I have to tell you, it was getting over the fact that I was on the field with some of the greatest athletes that I'd ever seen, and then guys that I cheer for and loved and had season tickets, and then I'd be out there. Let's say, for example, the Chicago Bears, Gary Fensick and you know, Doug Plank, right? You know what I mean? Two of the best safeties that ever played the game. And to be, you know, watching a Bears game when I'm teaching school or whatever, and now I'm playing against these guys or some of the greatest that ever played the game, and I'm out on the same field with them. That, believe it or not, I had to get over the shock that, hey, listen, you know, you got a job to do out there. You got to kick this guy's butt. you know, you're out there, you know, doing your special teams or whatever it is. And that was one of, believe it or not, one of the biggest things I had overcome. Mm-hmm. And also, there was a little bit of a resentment in the beginning of the when I had made the team, because every city that I would go into, there would be this Rocky thing, you know, this Rocky theme. And, you know, some of the guys that had been on the squad for several years, you know, sort of resented it, and maybe a little jealousy or whatever it was. But, you know, I tried to keep my mouth shut and just do what was asked of me by my coaches and my teammates. And eventually, you know, the next year, Vernay voted me captain of the team.
I was talking to Paul Kaufman, former All-Pro tight end for the Green Bay Packers. And Paul, you know, he's pretty beat up. I mean, you know, he was an undersized tight end, made All-Pro. And I got to talking to him about, you know, he's same as you. He shouldn't have made the NFL. If it hadn't been for Gary Spaney being the star linebacker in the Kansas City Chiefs, and Paul working out with, you know, Gary Spaney when they came to look at him, Paul would have never even got a shot. And you got such a unique opportunity, and you turned that into something. As Kaufman was telling me, he goes, I'll tell you, he goes, my first 3 weeks of camp, he goes, I think I was in a fight every single day. I mean, I understand that resentment that you talk about and so forth. And I got in a fight every day with this guy, Rich Moran. And Rich and I just didn't like each other. He was an offensive guard. And, you know, I pummeled him, of course, every day. I mean, I don't want to brag about it. But, I mean, did you get it? Did you have a lot of resentment that came on the practice field sometimes?
Oh, yeah. Oh, hell yes, because I used to hit everything that moved, you know. And back then, you could play football, you know. You could crack back on, put your helmet into his sternum and flip him on his back. And, you know, you could block below the waist. I could come all the way across the field. I actually got to the point in practice where I was always getting in a scuffle, and the guys were getting pissed off.
Yeah.
And, hey, man, you know, you're trying to hurt me. I said, I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm just trying to make the football team, and nobody does what I'm doing. And it got the attention of Coach Ramil. And, yeah, there was a little bit every day, but, you know, the movie did a job of it.
Yeah, yeah.
In the movie, in real life, there was an offensive lineman that just hated it. He thought I was a pretty boy, you know. And this guy looked like Frankenstein, for crying out loud, you know. But they chose a linebacker as one of the guys in the movie, you know, to be my my adversary. And but, you know, it was so cool. See, all the guys, by the way, that were in the movie, they were all former NFL players. And were guys who were playing in the Arena Football League. Mm-hmm. You know, they're the same guys in the movie Replacements. They were the Longest Yard, those movies. That was that same crew that was brought in by Mark Chiardi and Gordon Gray, our producers. And it was wild. But, yeah, man, every day. But here's the beautiful thing, is every time I catch a pass, because half the stands at Widener College were students, guys that I knew, you know, all drinking their beer up in the stands. I wish you would have let me have one. And I would run and sprint into the end zone. And boy, did that piss off some of the defensive backs. Uh-huh. And Roma Gabriel, because I trained with him for 3 months prior to training camp, you know, and it showed up on film. I already knew one way to do things, and that's do it 110%. I mean, there's no shortcuts in my life and our family's life and what we do, and I did. And, you know, I know I pissed some people off, but eventually I won them over.
How about, like, it's been a while since, you played, and so you're down in Jupiter, and I got my house is down in Jupiter, too, and I run into Joe Namath. I run into Namath quite a bit, and I saw him a few weeks back, and I put him on the phone with Dollar Bill Bradley, and they were having some good talks and everything. Do you ever run into Joe down there?
Hell yes, man. I live in Turtle Creek.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I'm in Tequesta, you know, so I see John. I don't belong there. I belong at Tequesta Club.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah.
I'm right there on River Road, man. I'm right down the road from you, buddy.
We got to get together. You know that, right?
Buddy, I know. I'm gonna call you when I come down there. We're going to this dinner, you know, and you're going to be there. Is it, I mean, Largent, talk about some of the great receivers. Who were some of the all-time best receivers in your mind and your opinion from all the eras?
Well, for me, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, was Tommy McDonald. He was my idol. And, you know, and then Lance Allworth, you know, coming over from the other league. And, of course, Steve Largent, as good as it gets, we've got Wes Welker, you know, Wes Welker, three sons of wide receiver, and Wes Welker was his idol. And I was so excited to meet him when I went down to a Dolphins practice, because he's coaching the wide receivers down there. There was just, you know, you go from one to the other, you know, as you know, from the days when way back in the know, with the Cleveland Browns in those days, thinking to Jim Brown. But, you know, there's some great receivers, and there's a lot of talent out there. Captain of the Philadelphia Eagles, right? And, oh, my God, did we party hard that night.
That was- were you really a bartender? I mean, as were you very good at that?
Well, I guess so. I was, as I say, I was a free agent, so I didn't, you know.
Hey, I got one question for you, Vince, is that you've done so much, and, you know, like I said, you're a real inspiration, and you do a great job talking and preaching the messages of just really hard work and ethics, but what are your future aspirations? What do you want to try to accomplish, this next chapter in your life? What's your goals?
Well, I want to accomplish. I'd love to see my son and daughter both got engaged, so they're next year in 25, and they're going to get married. So, my biggest aspiration, of course, is watching them get married and then becoming a grandfather. I'm 78, so I was 50 when my 27-year-old was born, and 7 when my 30-year-old daughter was born. I started late.
Yes, you did, buddy. You got married when you were 47. You were a bachelor a long time, buddy.
Well, we call them free agents, but
Okay, well, you were a free agent, buddy. You were very marketable back in the day, huh?
Hey, well, listen, I tell you what, I tell everybody says I totally outkept my coverage with my wife Janet. She's absolutely the greatest, and you know, we golfed together. We're two jocks. We're two coaches. Our house is like a locker room. Some of the conversations we have are pretty earthy, and it's a lot of fun. So life is good. So my aspirations are to be as healthy as I can be, and to just see everybody and see my kids have kids and have their dreams come true. And you know, and I know Vinny's dreaming to be in the NFL, and my daughter is dreaming that someday she'll be a mother. So it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of great conversations, camaraderie, a lot of connections on the NFL side in that cause. It couldn't be better for Gridiron Greats. And so, Vince, as we let you go, we're going to look forward to seeing you here in Chicago. We'll have links up at WGNradio.com. Thanks for everything that you're doing. Look forward to seeing you. Thanks for jumping on the show today.
Thanks, Dane. Thanks, Jim, Bob. And I'm really looking forward to it. Now, guess that cocktail party on Thursday night's going to be, Thursday night's going to be pretty kicking.
Yeah.
And save some for me, will you?
I will.